And we're live. So,
oh shit, I forgot to turn off that stupid voice notification.
God damn it. Shut up, Ben. And that is the intro to episode 57 of the Noisecast. Shut up, Ben. We are a podcast that's basically a radio show that you listen to on your computer, smartphone, or MP3 player. We discuss tech bullcrap, gaming bullcrap, Vito's bullcrap, and various other things that come to mind. We also have a WTF news section.
Which is just general bullcrap.
General. Yeah, I guess that's general.
Florida bullcrap.
Yeah. And we have a dedicated Florida bullcrap section. All right, so with us tonight, we have Ben.
Yeah, I go first.
Shut up, Ben.
What up?
We have Gonzo.
Hey, what's up?
And we have Vito.
I'm here.
I'm proud of Vito for being here.
Well, it's been a while, man. I haven't been on for the last couple weeks.
We haven't had one the last couple weeks.
We've been out celebrating the holidays.
Yeah, we've been on vacation.
Yeah. Anyway. And stuff.
Also, not a lot happened in the tech world.
For those of you who don't know, we do this live. Catch us on thenoisecast.com/live. Obviously, our homepage is thenoisecast.com. We also have a Facebook page and a Twitter account that you can like and or follow to catch our articles, get conversational pieces from us, and pretty much just see what we're up to when we're not drunk and yelling at each other. So I guess we'll move on to the actual topic list. Let's talk about this fancy 1 terabyte flash drive in a fancy Swiss Army package. That
is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous is pretty much the only word you can use to describe that. Because so yeah, when I saw this, there's really not much of a story to it. It's it looks like they saw a sign that was put up by the makers and snapped a picture of it and wrote a little 1-2 paragraph blurb based on what's on the sign. But still, that's pretty fucking awesome. If they somehow managed to fit a terabyte onto a thumb drive along with an LCD readout.
Well, what are the speeds like?
Well, it does say USB 2.0, which seems pretty slow for a terabyte drive. Wouldn't you want 3?
Well, what do you need those speeds for, though?
What do you need a thumb drive on a knife for?
Well, I don't think that it's a thumb drive on a knife. Yes,
it's a knife on a thumb drive.
There is an option to get one with the knife. It seems more like just a fancy way to carry around a thumb drive to me. That would be the main draw for something like that. I don't see the purpose of having a 1 terabyte worth of storage on a thumb drive, but that's just me.
But is that even possible? Are we even up to that point on flash drives where we can
Well, how much does the thing cost?
I don't think they've sold the articles.
$377 and 44
$300, that's for a 64 gig.
Oh.
It's $300. Yeah.
Yeah, so this...
So,
I don't know, I feel like this is some kind of mistake or misunderstanding, because I didn't think we could get 1 terabyte on a flash drive yet.
Maybe I don't know.
If you look at the sign, like the picture, it says capacities up to 1 terabyte. The people that make this are the same ones that make the Swiss Army knife. So it's not like they made a fancy 1 terabyte external hard drive. No, they're actually advertising the thumb drive with 1 terabyte of storage. How they did it, I'm not entirely sure. It might be a fat-ass drive. Who knows?
It may be multiple drives that add up to 1 terabyte. They might have cheated.
What, like a flash drive RAID?
No, I'm saying multiple different, like 4 different 250 gig ones or something like that.
It's possible, I guess.
I mean, it's a big jump from a 64 gig flash drive to a terabyte.
Well, they have some that are multiple 64 gig sticks.
Okay.
I went and checked out the site earlier. So they have some that flip out, like, you know how when you get a Swiss Army knife, you got like multiple tools that'll flip out. You you have multiple thumb drives that flip out.
That's so, what I was saying.
Yeah, it could be something like that.
That makes sense.
It doesn't exactly say, hey, we got 1 terabyte on a single stick. You know?
That seems plausible.
But then when you look at the picture, you only see one stick there. So that's one of those things that we're gonna have to keep our eye on and maybe talk about in next week's show once CES is over and they've revealed everything.
Yeah.
Because this is something that I really want to see, because if they manage to get that much onto a thumb drive, then that potentially means that thumb drive prices are gonna go down even further.
Well, see, maybe that's interesting because hard drive prices. Yeah, hard drive prices are going up right now. I mean, I know in the enterprise world, about 2 months ago, everyone was saying, buy your hard drives now, prices are about to skyrocket just because of what happens in the world. Some area has issues, like, electronics went on pause more or less when Japan got hit with that quake and the subsequent tsunami. But 2 months ago, people were screaming, if you want to get enterprise hard drives, do it now because prices are about to score. I haven't tracked them, but eventually these things are going to start going up when people realize that physical hard drives are on the out and flash drives are cheaper. Or flash-type storage devices, rather.
Just for an interesting bit
Beto, you jackhole.
But just for an interesting bit of nostalgia, I was actually just watching a clip from the Screensavers, I think 1999 or 2000, and they were talking about 80 gig hard drives and how those were gigantic.
Yeah.
My first computer was a hand-me-down from my uncle, and it had a 20 gig drive in it, and that was amazing to all my friends.
So. Yeah, I remember getting my first iPod and being like, 20 gigs? I can never fill that up.
Yeah, and now you have games. Nice.
Well, that's sad because my first iPod was 60 gigs, and I had to choose which half of my music I wanted on it. But then again.
Well, see, now we've got games that take up 20 gigs of space or
yeah,
more.
Yeah, no joke. Bullcrap. I look at him like, when I'm like getting the cheapo game, like the 250 games on the Steam sale. A couple megs. It's like 8 megs, which is, you think about that in year 2002 terms, that's ridiculous. That's like 2 weeks of straight downloading. But and I'm like, oh, that's not too bad, right? And then now, what was it? Arkham Asylum was something like 8 gigs or something stupid.
Wow, really?
I think so. I don't remember. I'm not going to look. I'm lazy.
Well, I know I just had to re-download, I think, Team Fortress, and that was like 6 gigs.
Oh, yeah, that one. That surprised me because I bought the physical Orange Box in a store, and it's like one DVD with all of them. But then you do the updates and everything to all,
It's a whole lot of hats, basically.
Yeah. A whole lot of hats.
All right, let's move on to an actual topic. Stick with CES for a second. LG is unveiling a 84-inch 3D TV at CES, apparently. This thing is wider than most apartment walls, yet people who don't make enough money are probably going to be the ones to take these on credit. Anyway, 1080p 3D uses passive 3D glasses. It's not the super ridiculous ones.
So the passive ones are like the ones you get in the movie theater, right?
Are like the ones you get in the movie theater.
Yeah. So you don't have to have the specialized glasses that are synced up with your TV and batteries on the side of your head and shit like that.
Which give me a way worse headache. Personally.
Well, don't they basically work by flickering on and off really fast?
Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly how they work. That's why they have to be specifically tuned to your TV. They have to make sure that they're flickering at the right rate.
I guess this is still a 1080p. Yeah,
it's enormous.
It's got to be. It's triple the resolution because, well, number one is a gigantic TV, and number
four times it's UD, which was that ultra definition, I guess.
Sure.
or
sounds good.
Urinary disease.
You dumb. Ha!
Okay, seriously, what are you going to do with an 84-inch TV with four times the resolution of 1080p? You're going to sit across the room and not notice the difference.
The reason it's four times the resolution is so they can still have the they can broadcast the two pictures at the same time without picture clarity loss.
That's fucking just ridiculously huge, though. I mean, that's taller than I am.
That's what LG does, man.
It's not tall. That's 84 inches diagonal.
Well, whatever. I could lay down on it like a mattress.
Look at the fucking the chick standing next to it. Yeah,
it's okay. First of all, it's Asian, so you have no sense of scale.
Still.
Yeah.
LG always does this. Every year at CES, they either come out with the most massive fucking TV at the show, or they come out with something that's like 3 millimeters thick. They do it every time. It's not really anything surprising. It's just, holy fuck, 84-inch TV.
Where do you put that thing in your house?
Living room.
It would fit in my basement. I'd probably have to cut a new hole in the wall to get it into the basement, but it would definitely fit.
You don't have a door? Because I'm pretty sure you could carry that sideways through a door.
I have a door, but then it goes directly downstairs.
And so the door, really, what?
I don't know if the gap is large enough. Because when I go into the basement, I have to duck to keep from hitting my head. I'd be worried. Because who the fuck else is going to carry it down? I could get one side, but I know my wife isn't going to carry the other side. And we all know I have no friends.
You need to get a forearm forklift, sir. Okay, apparently you guys don't watch enough late night TV.
that's the weird strap things that you put on.
And that's actually what Best Buy used to move my appliances into my house. And it's a
really
absolute, yeah, well, not that brand, but a very similar one. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Oh, I don't doubt that it is, but that still only helps me with one side. My wife is still the person that carries like one bag in each hand when she's bringing in the groceries.
I think all women do that.
Well, all women don't do it because that's all they can handle.
On today's episode of the Noisecast, misogyny.
Yeah. If it wasn't 3D, I'd buy it, says Underboob. Well,
it doesn't have to be 3D. You can turn that off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 3D is just a feature on all the TVs.
But they have,
you don't have to use it.
They have 110-inch TVs. That was last year at CES.
But those weren't 3D.
It wasn't a 3D. That's the thing.
Yeah, and now it's 3D, which is one of those things they're trying to push on people because they think it'll be cool.
Yeah, and way too many people are like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, and I think...
Although, I will say, since this one is passive, I would be more likely to use it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd be more likely to use it because the glasses aren't going to be ridiculously expensive. I wouldn't have to worry about burning through batteries constantly. But still, it's a gimmick that I have yet to find anybody that says, man, I can't wait to get a new 3D TV. Nobody fucking looks for 3D in a TV feature set. If they find a nice TV that just happens to have 3D, they're like, whatever. I'm not paying any extra for it. But
And then if you want to get like your TV, like ESPN, if you want to get sports in 3D, you have to pay an extra like $10 a month for it. So this is not, I mean, it's not for the average Joe at all, which no new technology is, but this technology is... In scale, this technology is not that new, and it should be a lot cheaper than it is, including the actual 3D product.
Right. Well, the reason it's not cheaper is because nobody fucking wants it. They can't get anybody to fund it, but except for – hold on. Let me back up. They can't get anybody to buy the stuff, so they keep looking for new ways to market it and or produce it, which is increasing their costs, so they can't bring it down at all. Nobody fucking wants it. They need to just let it go.
And they're trying to get people interested, but it's not working. Anyway, let's move away from bashing 3D.
Let it go the way of the power glove.
But it's so bad.
Okay, the power glove.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
I could watch that clip over and over again for like hours. It's just hilarious. It's so bad, if you will.
Dude, I bought the DVD just for that scene. I love the power glove. It's so bad.
Well, keep your power gloves off her, all right, pal? Oh, the wizard. For any of you youngins that might be listening, what a terrible movie that was.
If youngins are listening, I think we're going to have a lot of parents calling us.
How'd they get our phone numbers?
Google, yeah. All right. Sticking with CES, apparently this year has been, there's not been any huge lead-ups to it. Companies have been releasing incremental updates. I know Lenovo and Fuji have both released typical incremental updates to their line. Article here. So go ahead and chat, for those of you who care. Says that, based on Speedo, you jerk hole. It says that CES is not going to be, this year at CES is not going to be a huge, amazing year. No new Xbox, which seriously, it's 6 years old now. It's probably, well, five and a, it's about time for new hardware in that.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that's dictated by the market, because people aren't spending as much money on new gadgets and
well, okay, if they just, you know, put out a completely top of the line hardware set and had it backwards compatible, they would make a ton of money. Because the only thing that PlayStation has over Xbox is the graphics are better. And a few games that are only on PlayStation, which is kind of stupid.
I don't think you'll ever see a backwards compatible system.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, full on.
Why not? Because it's been the same hardware. All the games from 2006 when it came out, 2005 when it came out, to today, 2012, have been able to run on the exact same hardware. That's a long time, and I don't. And while newer games, they can use the same settings, if you will. It's like playing an older game on a newer PC. You know, you can max out the settings, but newer games are going to be able to have better graphic settings. Better, they're going to run better. You're going to have more power behind the game.
Well, the thing is, though, they might drop at support just to bring the cost of the console down. Like, because, like, if something that's interesting.
Why does it have to be more expensive, though?
Well, I don't know. Here's something,
that's
though.
The thing that doesn't make any sense.
At the beginning of this current console generation, all the consoles pretty much featured backwards compatibility. Now, as of today, Xbox is actually pretty much just stayed the same, but the Wii and the PlayStation have dropped backwards compatibility, and they no longer support the old titles. It's kind of to the point where nobody really cares
anymore.
The
PS3, yeah,
but like, you can't play those old games anymore.
So yeah, the new Wii doesn't play GameCube
games? Yeah, they actually just refreshed the Wii sometime in December, then they dropped GameCube support, and you can't even plug in like GameCube controllers or anything.
What?
Yeah.
That's and all three people who cared are writing angry letters.
Well, the only reason I even play Mario Kart on my Wii is because I can use my WaveBird controller. Because that fucking steering wheel is bullshit.
Oh, it's the worst.
And also playing like Super Smash Brothers and stuff. I know most people would still use GameCube controllers.
Smash Brothers.
Nope, not anymore.
The GameCube controller is perfect. You don't even have enough buttons on the fucking Wii controller. Oh, fuck you, Nintendo. Yeah. Actually, no, they do give you the classic controller that you can plug into.
Still,
that
thing fucking sucks.
It's not that bad.
It's not
as good as the GameCube controller for that system, though.
No, it's not. It's not as good as GameCube controller, but it's pretty damn close. The only reason I have one is because I got it with Monster Hunter Tri, which requires a classic controller.
Whoa.
I think.
Apparently, Microsoft says this will be the last CES.
This will be the last CES where Kevlar gives us a full sentence before cutting out.
My name is Vito, and I like to yell and scream without being productive. Apparently, Microsoft is currently saying that this is the last CES they will attend.
So, does that mean they're going to start having their own little convention?
You know what? With all that they're doing, it surprised me that there's not one. They have their Microsoft Developers Conferences, but Apple has their thing. Microsoft doesn't really unveil new shit.
Well, actually, Apple stopped attending Macworld, I think last year or the year before.
Well, so, I mean, they got so hipster they couldn't show up for their own party. That's a completely different problem.
Well, actually, Macworld isn't run by Apple. It's a third-party thing. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah, well, you know what? I had to make a hipster joke. Deal with it.
I guess, whatever.
All right, so apparently they're saying that they will not attend next year. I don't know why.
Well, it's probably just because it puts a lot of pressure on them to have something to show.
Who cares? It's Microsoft. They have a lot of money, and they throw a lot of money in the R&D. Granted, they're not really hardware. They barely do hardware in the Xbox, and then their phones are outsourced.
The thing is, it's probably they would rather just go ahead and show stuff off and release stuff on their own schedule when they want to, instead of being held, you know, to every January. Got to have it ready for CES. Got to have it ready. Especially right after the holidays, you know, puts a big crunch on
Latin
developers and everything.
I think this.
Also,
I think CES.
The only hardware they have. The only hardware they have is the Xbox. And that's it.
Yeah.
And CES is, you know, that's mostly hardware and mostly, you know, hey, look what we could potentially get. It's like an auto show for electronics.
But
Microsoft doesn't have anything to show.
CES needs to happen around May. Or maybe even June. That way, you have, like, say, all these things that need to be, you know, are going to be released in the next few months, or we're releasing starting today, like Apple does. Like, hey, you can buy this now, by the way. So if it happens in May, then either A, you're going to get it by Christmas or the holiday season, or it's going on sale that day and it'll still be on sale for Christmas and it'll be that year's hot item. Like, I know when the next Xbox comes out, it's going to be like, they better produce a lot of them, because otherwise it's going to be like Tickle Me Elmo style riots over them. Anyway, let's move away from Microsoft. Apparently, somebody is really surprised that there's no iPad 3 this year.
Well, the year just started. We've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
We got 12 months to wait.
Hang on. This DigiTimes claims that at some point they're going to have a ridiculous amount of, it's a 2048 by 1536 display, A6 processor, 8 and 5 megapixel cameras, rear and front. Dual LED, this thing's ridiculous. It's reading like
speculation.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not even speculation. That's just, I'm going to make up a bunch of shit and put it into an article.
Well, yeah, that's what happens. And then they get cited by all these other sites. All right, no new Apple TV. Who cares?
For Apple TV, all 10 of the people that actually bought one.
Well, for $100, it's not too bad. Although I really wish it, you know, was more. I wish Roku stuff was better. Anyway, no Intel-powered LG Android smartphone. That's a very specific no. Anyway, apparently CES this year is going to be incremental updates, nothing major, and not surprised.
I'm
shut
not...
up.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay.
No, but do they hold like keynotes and stuff at CES? Because is it possible that? Because the show technically hasn't quite started yet, right? It starts tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow. Everyone, well, I think there were a few things today.
Yeah.
But I think today the actual like the big show starts on Monday. Yeah.
Right. Today was like the press day where they walk out and they see the stuff that's on the floor, but there isn't really a whole lot of really big things that'll come.
Because they do have keynotes.
Isn't it possible that just because something's not on the floor doesn't mean it's not? Like, there's going to announce it at a keynote
or
something?
But if you have something amazing and you get it out there before everyone else, then people are going to talk about that and forget about the other keynotes. That's if you have something amazing. If you have something that's kind of, hey, that's cool, guy, that doesn't work.
Well, all I'm saying is that I'd say it's maybe a little too early to definitively claim there's nothing that interesting at CES. We should wait till it actually starts.
Well, the signs point to not interesting.
Yes,
not
okay.
That
it's likely not interesting, but who knows? Maybe they'll surprise us, but probably not.
What usually happens is the first day, like today, if somebody's
apparently
really
the 10th.
Excited about something huge, then they announce that on the first press day or the second press day, And even if they're announcing it on the second press day, there will be a lot of buzz about it on the first press day. The reason is because they, like Kevlar said, they want people in there. They want them talking about it. They want them looking at it so that they can try and overshadow their competition to some extent.
Gotcha.
So if you're not hearing anything about it on the first or the second press day, it's most likely not there anymore. They're like, oh, hey, we gave you some more RAM and a slightly faster processor. Ta-da!
Gotcha.
Are you done ranting?
Well, that was more of an explanation.
Yeah, I know. I was distracted and I was trying to blame it on you that there was a silence there. All right. So CES this year, not going to be amazing. Still going to be good. You know, there's going to be expensive stuff unveiled. But for those of us who don't make that much money, we're going to be disappointed at the stuff we can drool over.
Speak for yourself, 99%er.
It's... Oh, I forgot Ben's upgrading from a CRT this year. He's a big spender.
Woo! It's going to be plated in gold.
Yeah, you're going to get a Sharpie and color it, aren't you? Or no, you're going to get the... No, because that would require more than one Sharpie.
I don't know.
No, he's just going to spray paint some aluminum foil and tape it to the sides.
Oh, man. That gold spray paint looks like ass. Anyway, let's move on. The FCC, this is kind of random and whatever, it's cool, has green-lighted the first white space broadband device. This is pretty much a device that seeks out open channels in the local area. Basically the bandwidth is not being used on a specific frequency, and you're able to broadcast your own stuff on it without having to have an FCC license. It's, you know, small range. It's not huge. Obviously, you're not doing this from a giant tower that still requires an FCC license and all that. But this is pretty much a way to solve the bandwidth issues that everyone's fighting over. I mean, I don't know if you follow the frequency spectrum wars, but everyone buys and sells. That was one of the big things with the T-Mobile and AT&T merger, was getting the bandwidth, the frequencies that AT&T, or that T-Mobile uses, over to AT&T.
Oh.
Anyway, this little bad boy, it's the KTS is the name of the company. Agility Data Radio. A little waterproof doohickey. Uses UHF and VHF, ultra high frequency and very high frequency. Basically does about a half to 3.1 megabits a second. I guess that's pretty much it. It's kind of cool. It's basically...
That's not very fast, though.
Well, no, but it's... Honestly, for... It's cool and it's not cool, because...
For wireless video surveillance, it's more than enough.
Yeah.
You're good there. But for something like wireless broadband, like it mentions that it can do wireless broadband, but it's not very fast. Of course, I do realize this is the first device of its kind that's actually gotten a green light, and faster speeds are coming. But I figured that, I mean, these days they could have come out with something faster than 3.1 megabits.
Well, I mean, you look at, like, you know, I worked in comm in the Marine Corps, and they have the, you know, basically it's, you plug into a UHF, VHF radio, and it's a modem for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
And they're not pulling this. I mean, it's ridiculous how slow they go. And that's point to point, which is what this is essentially. So I think it's a matter of the protocol that they're using as well. I think there's probably certain protocol specifications they have to fall under.
Well, yeah, to make sure they stay in that white space and don't start stepping on people.
Well, not that. More the data encryption protocol.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, your encryption's going to take a chunk off your speed as well. So I imagine this is being called the functional speed. Hopefully not their unencrypted speed, because that's ridiculous. But yeah.
And just to be perfectly clear, I'm not trying to shit on this at all.
No. It's a good awesome. Step. It's a very good start.
It just, I was thinking that they could do something faster. Not that it needs to be faster for the prototype or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, obviously step one in a series of products, and now that it's been greenlit, this is the first one to get the green light. So everything after this, hopefully, will be an improvement. And there, people will actually pursue this because it's open and it's been approved. One company had to bite the bullet and throw the money into it and hope they could sell it, and that happened.
And now they can sue all the other ones that come later.
Sorry, I didn't see an apple on it, so maybe that won't happen. speaking of sales and other shit, apparently HTC is having trouble making money. They lost 2.5% this year in revenue. So net income actually was down 26%. That's a lot.
That is.
And they're a big company. They're not.
They make some of the better phones and other digital devices.
Really, Ray? Could you be more generic? You show up for 2 seconds to be the most generic person here.
I think HTC's biggest problem, as it mentioned in the article, is the lack of brand identity. I mean, for geeks like us and people that are listening to the show, I mean, you'll be able to look at an HTC device from across the room and tell that it's an HTC. We can tell. We know what it is. But a lot of people may not. Not so tech-savvy people just see a phone and they call it a Droid. And it makes me want to strangle them when they call it a Droid, but that's what they see.
Or don't get mad.
Or they call it a big, wow, I didn't know iPhones came that big.
I have a Motorola iPhone.
That drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
Someone's like, hey, my iPhone's not working. I'm like, that's not an iPhone.
I mean, HTC does run independent commercials. It's not something that they complete, but they don't sell it to a personal, you see Motorola commercials and it's all red. It's got the M everywhere. They show, it's a Motorola Droid Razor, even though you don't know what it does.
When the commercial doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. HTC and Windows Phone Windows, because now they're advertising Windows in general. They have the same tone. They're like, we make you happy with your life. You could do everything.
You know, which they kind of remind me of the old beer commercials. Remember? How it was like everybody's out and partying and having a good time. And then suddenly at the end you see a beer. Wait, what just happened here? Oh, it was a beer commercial. Okay.
Oh, it was like the Bud Light or the Tabasco commercials back from the Super Bowl, was it?
Yeah, the commercial, you have no idea you're watching a commercial for a smartphone until you see the HTC.
Yeah.
You basically see people using their phone.
Moto does that, but Moto has the Droid, and the Droid line, obviously there are some exclusions to that.
Yes, and the reason Motorola has their Droid name so easily recognized is because A, they're constantly shoving Droid down your throat.
Well,
and B, that's every time you go anywhere near a Verizon store, you just see fucking Droid everywhere.
Well, don't forget that because Verizon sold the Droid, or sorry, Motorola sold the Droid as like. I mean, when the Google one, or was it the G1 came out, it was cool because it was Google, but few people picked up on it other than geeks. And geeks loved it.
It was on T-Mobile.
Well, talk about branding issues. but then Motorola it's Motorola. They've been around. They had the first walkie-talkie phones way back in the day sort of thing.
Didn't they make first in-car radio as well? If I remember correctly,
I don't care.
That's what Motorola started.
Yeah, they still make a lot of radios. Obviously, they branched off Motorola and Motorola Mobility, different branches. But you know, they sold the Droid name. Like everything about Android was Droid. That's one reason Ray and everyone on this podcast gets pissed off, and they're like, "Oh, I have a Droid." No, that's an HTC. You know, like, the people don't care. The people who buy it don't give a crap.
And a lot of people have an Evo and don't realize it's HTC.
Yeah.
Because unlike Motorola, they don't blast their logo all over everything.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they're real subtle about all their logos. Like, it's just a little HTC.
Yeah, they make good phones, but they don't make you remember that it's their phone. Like, I have an HTC Surround, and it says HTC on the front and HTC on the back. And it's, I know it's HTC because it actually has a nice heft in my hand. And that's the big way to tell it's an HTC, is it actually feels like something in your hand. Everything else feels like a paper, piece of paper. But it's, I mean,
That's one of the things that I like about HTC, though, is the subtlety. Totally.
I mean, my wife has the Samsung Windows phone. And hers is lightweight, and it's not as fragile as it feels, but I love mine because it feels like I could, you know, take someone out with it if they attack me.
Like an old school Nokia.
Not quite like that. Yeah. That would be, you know, death. If I threw a Nokia, old school Nokia at you, you'd probably die.
HTC should market themselves to confuse stoners. Like, yeah, man, totally get high off this Oh, hell.
We totally cornered the dyslexic stoner market.
Hey, man, it could work.
It could. It probably won't. Anyway, yeah, so they're not doing very well. It seems like they need to market themselves as to the consumer, not to the carrier. Because the carriers like them. They make good phones. They don't care. They'll sell them.
Yeah.
But,
well, another thing that Steven brought up in the article was their branding fucking sucks. Like, the phones that they came out with, the Radar, Amaze 4G, Evo Design 4G, Titan, Vivid, Resound, Sensation XL, Sensation XE.
Well,
you have no fucking clue which one came after what one, what features are in which.
Yeah.
Like, you know for a fact that the Droid X came before the Droid X 2. You know that. Simply because they put a fucking 2 on it.
Yeah, you know what? I think that annoys me that the Motorola keeps it so stupidly in line. But what they need to do is they need to have like 2 or 3 phones per OS, and they just need to increment them. You know?
Right.
Until they get, like, you get past the third generation, you can start a new name. That's okay. You know, you get to the, like, the Surround or the Resound 3, then you can start with something else, you know, a new name. Like, you can move over to Sensation or, you know, Radar, or, because that's 3 years down the line, and no one's going to confuse that for a 3-year-old phone.
Right. And they know what they're getting. They know that if they pick up the Radar, it's going to be slightly less expensive and less feature heavy than the Radar 2.
Yeah.
If they did it that way.
Yeah. Or so if you're going from a 3 to a 1, you hope you're upgrading. That's, you know. Well, I mean, that's the thing Apple has, is that it's 1 year, one phone. You know exactly what you have, except for the S's, which
they keep it simple.
Well, the 3GS made sense because they couldn't call it the 4 because it wasn't the 4, and then they completely bombed it with the 4S.
Whatever. I guess they could have called it the 4.2.
All right, you're an idiot. Called it
the 5.
All right, math ass. Right, I wonder if my wife's tuned in yet. Apparently not, or she's not saying so. Anyway, so HTC. They've made good phones since forever. Everyone pretty much agrees on that. But they need to be a little more cocky in the market. Because Motorola has enough cocky to go around.
Penis.
Dick butts. Moving on. Apparently, BitTorrent is launching a free personal file swapping service.
BitTorrent is launching a BitTorrent.
Yeah, that being the title to this ridiculous article, the actual article should be titled BitTorrent Launches Dropbox Rival, because that's pretty much what it is. It's kind of like a peer-to-peer cloud, if you will. Personal cloud-ish thing.
Through reading it, I see what they're attempting to do here.
Yeah.
And it because of the BitTorrent name and the stigma attached to it for the non techies.
Basically, BitTorrent is only for people who steal stuff.
Right. And because of the fact that so many people have Dropbox, they use it, they like it, it's going to be tough for them to get their foot in here.
Yeah, I really agree with
this
that.
This seems, like Chance Laurie pointed out in the chat, it's like a temporary. It's more mega upload than Dropbox. I guess I said that wrong. No limits to the number of sends, file quality size, number of recipients, number of downloads. Ultra fast downloads, apparently. That's what BitTorrent's for. The only thing faster than BitTorrent is Usenet, if you're lucky. Obviously, you can choose who may access the files, set up groups to share with friends, family, coworkers, or other people you want to share your pirated TV shows with. And it's social and fun. You may comment on the files in real time.
That sounds like a lame feature.
Well, hey, you know what?
Let's take Facebook, Mega Upload, and Dropbox, mash all that shit together,
and take out the good stuff.
Take out everything that makes them good, stick our dirty internet thief name on it, and see where it goes.
Not everything needs to be fucking social these days.
Yeah, I know. They could have completely left that out.
It's just a fucking file.
Well, unless it's something like our topic lists, where, you know, everyone can edit it once, we end up arguing with each other, which, by the way, if you've never been privy to watching some of our when six people are editing the topic list, it gets hilarious.
Comic Sans.
Yeah.
It just turns speaking of which, you.
Thanks for reminding me.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, and there's the Comic Sans.
Crap, it's going to be really hard to see what's going on.
Hey, we'll go with this one.
Okay, can you at least make it smaller so I can read it?
See, and there it goes.
All right, anyway, in case you didn't know, we just completely butt-fucked the topic list. Back to social sharing. The word social, calling something social is basically awkward at this stage to anyone who's tech savvy, which is who I assume this BitTorrent service is directed at, because it's a BitTorrent. It's more tech savvy in the first place. And so you got a bunch of people who live and breathe internet, and you're going to call something social.
Yeah, we don't have friends to begin with.
Well, no. It's because if, you know, you go on Reddit and you say, hey, this is a new social site, and what do you get? You get a bunch of sneers and, you know, sarcastic remarks. So I'm taking Reddit as a sample of the internet, and you call something social, and anyone who spends a significant amount of time on the internet is going to go, ha! I don't care.
I'm waiting for the time when marketing professionals realize that just slapping social on something doesn't automatically make it fun and amazing.
I don't think marketing professionals or BitTorrent hires marketing professionals.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is this isn't something that's only happening here. They make everything is social.
Chance Laureate pointed out AnyBeat, which was, what was it called before? I don't remember what it was called before. I signed up for a username on it, and I had to reserve it because it wasn't open yet. And then they emailed me to tell me it's changed from whatever it used to be to anybeat.com. And then they keep sending me emails saying that your registration of this name is going to expire, or your request to hold this name is going to expire. Act quick before someone else gets it. Well, I'd believe them until I got three of them in 4 days. Like, if you're really that worried that, you know, I'm not going to use your service, maybe you shouldn't try telling me that your service is busy. Sorry, random drunken rant. Yay, scotch. Anyway, this new BitTorrent thing is going to be integrated into BitTorrent and uTorrent software clients after the alpha phase.
Okay.
There we go. Hopping back and forth on topics really fast. Blah, 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 blah. Let's go to Steam. Steamy, Steam. Since Vito got me Yeah, Vito got me Borderlands, and Super Fox got me Arkham Asylum, which is a really awesome game. And Borderlands is a hell of a lot of fun too, but I got more into Batman first. So
anyway. You just said you can fuck yourself.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Borderlands isn't one of those games that you sit down and play through really fast. Arkham Asylum, you can rip through in 1 or 2 days.
Well, that's if your computer runs it right. I played it in heavy action sequences. It was running at about, you know, 2/3 time. So it was kind of super easy.
Hey, that just gives you a tactical advantage.
Well, yeah, it was like the Matrix.
So you're using cheat codes, is what you're saying.
Yeah, cheat codes, as in, for some reason, my computer didn't like it. Integrated graphics don't work well with modern games. Anyway, so moving on to Steam. Steam has, I think it's been the sixth or seventh straight year that they have posted 100% growth. On their, you know, their service, which obviously, if you don't know, they sell digital downloads of games. Almost everybody uses them. EA has recently branched off to go with their own similar service, although with way better customer support.
Which is doing gangbusters.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But for the first time, Steam broke 5 million concurrent users. So that on January 2nd, 2012, total of 5,012,12,473 players were all playing Steam games at the same time, which shows you how forever alone people were on the day after New Year's.
Hey, they were all trying to get coal.
Shut up. Oh, no, that was after the coal.
No, it went until the 2nd.
Yep.
Oh, it ended on the 2nd?
No, it was the last ditch effort.
Oh, January 1st was the last day when people were logging on and modifying their save files to get the cheats for the ones that are just ridiculously hard.
I tried for like two of them, of the games that I had, and I realized I didn't care enough to be that specific. So,
how many Valve coupons did you end up with, Vito?
Two. Oh, Vito?
Hold on. I've got Steam open right now. I'll take a look. I want to say it was something like 15.
How many of those are you actually going to use?
Zero, probably.
Well, there's a subreddit on, obviously, Reddit, where if somebody, you know, says they're going to buy a Valve game with, then they need a coupon, you can post your coupon code and trade it with
them. I've got 13 coupons total. 11 of them are Valve coupons.
Awesome. Nice.
What are the other two? Just random other ones? What?
One of them is IL2 Sturm of, I don't even know how to fucking pronounce that. Cliffs of Dover. It's for a dogfighting, like a World War II dogfighting.
Like Michael Vick's.
Yeah, I was going to say MichaelVick.com.
One is 50% off Red Faction Armageddon, and one of them is 50% off Cliffs of Dover. You're playing a Royal Air Force pilot against the deadly German Luft and Italian air forces. So it's a really old school dogfighting kind of thing.
Nice. Kind of random, but how much is the thing for?
$50 off. It's a $50 game, so I could get it for $25.
That's not bad if you're in flight sim. Is it tradable?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so anyone wants that, go ahead.
If anybody wants an old school 40s era dogfighting thing, the screenshots are amazing. The cockpits look really, really intricately detailed. So, you know, if you're into that, just hit me up on Steam.
I'll give you the phone. Actually,
I ain't gonna use it.
I heard.
Yeah, because I dumped it on you. Because that was my coupon.
I heard news that Microsoft was releasing a Microsoft Flight for free. Here we go, on the register. I'll post this link for you in the chat there, for you, those of you in live stream. So Microsoft will be reviving its Flight Simulator franchise.
The franchise.
That was spoken for Ben's understanding. It's called Microsoft Flight. Apparently it's free to download. It's in private beta right now. It requires 10 gigs of hard drive space. Holy crap. Dual core 2 gigahertz processor, XP, Service Pack 3 minimum, 2 gigs of RAM minimum. And there's no mention of video card minimum. But I imagine that since it's by Microsoft. What?
It's text-based.
I don't think it needs a video card, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously you'll get better results with a better video card. I was just reading through the specs, but Microsoft Flight Sim is a great way to kill time and learn how to kill yourself in an airplane.
It really is. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to play the crap out of it when I was in school.
Yeah. I still have, I think, the CDs for 97 and 2000 or something like that. I have two different CDs from... blah, 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 blah. Looks like, for those of you who are interested in Flight Sim, there's a free one coming out. I don't know why. Maybe they're just bored and have a lot of money. Anyway.
I'm interested.
There you go. I pasted it in the topic list. Those of you who care. Another thing I wanted to talk about real quick was the fact that when it comes to marketing, Steam has one of the best support groups ever, one of the best marketing campaigns ever, and that is that they kick ass at customer service. And when a indie developer gets their name featured, or their game featured, there was it 1,000%. Their sales go up 1,000% typically.
I don't think it's when they get their game featured, but when Steam does a 75% off sale, that's when it skyrockets.
Well, yeah, that's I consider that to be featured.
Yeah, but yeah, something goes on sale on Steam for 75% off, even if it's a game that a lot of people may not want to play. They
but
see
they've heard
it on
of it.
Sale, right?
They've
they
heard
see
of it.
It. They're like, "Oh, I've heard of this. I may or may not like it, but fuck it. It's only $2.50. I'll go for it."
Yeah. So they end up in their profits, the money that they put in their pocket goes up 1,000%.
Hell, I know I end up rebuying games I already own because I like gift them and stuff. Like,
yeah. I have done that numerous times.
Like I must have bought I don't know how many copies of Beat Hazard by now just to give them away to people.
I hate that. Is awesome.
I hate that game. It's fun, but I hate that game.
Does it choke the shit out of your computer?
Well, no, actually, it plays all right. I'll even put it on the big screen, on the 32-inch, but then my head starts to hurt. kind of a bad thing to be sitting 2 feet away from a 32-inch that Dude. Is strobing constantly.
Yeah. Try playing multiplayer. No. That is fucking intense.
I'm not that good at it. I play it for fun every once in a while, and then I go throw up from motion sickness.
That's okay. Unfortunate. Let's
get into some real whoa news. Apparently, the Harry Potter invisible cloak, or whatever. Some Harry Potter fan is going to yell at me for that.
They don't count.
Yeah, let me start over on this whole bullcrap. Cornell researchers have demonstrated a temporal cloak, which is... As they describe it, it makes an entire event disappear. Basically, an action in time. That is what they describe it as an event. And they can hide it. Granted, at this point, it's very small. It's, you know, on the I believe, picosecond.
Is that what the Galileans did? Or the
picosecond per nanometers. That's the scale at which we're working. So it's very, very, very small. But I'm ignoring you, Ben. Anyway, they've completely hid the event from any sort of measurement. They forced it to happen, but they put it behind this cloak, and no one can see it. Using a time lens, which is what Time Lords use in their glasses.
No, that was no.
Yeah, like your joke was better, asshole?
Yes, it was.
Okay, well, I didn't hear it, so.
All right, well, that's it. That seems like it would be really interesting if I knew what the fuck they were talking about.
Well, get edumacated, or just do what I do and read a bunch of articles about it and try to guess. Okay, since Vito's sighing, let's move on to SOPA.
Too much science, my brain doesn't work.
No, okay, we're going to completely ignore the cool stuff, and let's go talk about old people making stupid laws.
Well, Vito, making Sopo. Stupid laws could very easily fuck everybody in this country over in a very real way.
Not everybody in this country. Everybody in this country who uses the internet.
Which is?
I don't know. I don't have that number in front of me. Let me go pull out my 2010 census.
Everyone. With the exception of the people that are making the laws, apparently.
All
right, for those.
Well, no. All you do after the SOPA passes is to go to their page and post a comment with a copywritten link. Their campaign pages.
Are you going to do any kind of introduction for the SOPA and let us discuss
it? No, you're the one who's ranting about it in the chat, so go for it. Go talk about it.
SOPA is the Stop Online Piracy Act. It's something that they introduced in... initially, they were saying that the whole purpose was to combat piracy, people using BitTorrents and posting copyrighted stuff. I know that there are places you can go online right now to watch television shows streaming from networks that don't put their shows online.
And you'll note that none of them anymore are hosted in the U.S.,
right.
Making this completely asinine. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. What SOPA aims to do is give the U.S. government the ability to completely block the IP address of any website that is hosting pirated content. And they don't have to have definitive proof that there's pirated content. They just have to have a report. Once they get a report, they can say, okay, well, shut it down.
Now, an investigation is completed.
Right, and anyone that's ever worked for the government knows how long a fucking investigation could take when they want it to.
Yeah.
Now, in theory, it sounds like a good thing because it's going to protect pirated it's going to keep people from pirating. But in reality, the broad strokes of the bill would give the government vice-like control over everything. Christ, dude. You tell me you want me to talk about it and you keep interrupting. You're worse than Howard Stern.
No, because you're getting extreme on the other end of the spectrum. They're not giving them vice-like control. They're giving the ability of them to shut down everyone. Not giving them the power to directly, but they're not limiting their power enough.
So, technically...
Fine, go ahead, you whiny ass.
Keep going.
I'm waiting.
I'm done.
Okay. In essence, it's giving them the ability to shut down a website.
Shut down, but basically remove it so no one can see it.
Right. Well, no one in the U.S.
Yeah.
But this would be a bad thing for any website that thrives off of user-generated content like Reddit or YouTube,
Facebook.
A lot of... Facebook, anything that you post to Facebook, like you want to post a picture of Doctor Who on Facebook. Well, nope. All of Facebook gets blocked because...
Or YouTube clip.
Or YouTube clips. People doing gameplay videos. The other night when I did my little Google Plus hangout where I was playing a video game, that would be illegal under the current wording of the Stop Online Piracy Act.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that this bill even exists. And if they do know it exists, a lot of them don't realize how drastic the measures contained inside of it are. And I think that's pretty dangerous.
The current problem I'm seeing with it is that the backers of it are the people and companies who produce a lot of it, like NBC, ABC, the big content producers, basically the same people who are behind the RIAA and the MIAA. Sort of thing, or MPAA rather.
Yeah.
The people who have the stuff that's getting stolen, they like the idea that this could protect their stuff. So they also, the same people who own and have hands down the pants of the news networks. So you're not seeing it on the news networks because I'm sure there's some sort of unofficial email going out that says, hey, we're not going to go ahead and talk about that. So ignore that, even though it's one of the biggest things. Anything else hits the internet. A puppy doing something cool hits the internet. It's on your local news. But this won't hit it, and it's been the most talked about thing for the past month.
I think that the thing that started this whole conversation is there have been some talks about doing a blackout to try and raise awareness of SOPA, just simply because so many people don't know what SOPA is or what it could potentially do. There are sites like Google, Twitter,
Facebook
are have Facebook been talking about
needs to.
Oh,
as much as they lose an ad revenue.
Oh God, yes. If Twitter and Facebook went, it wouldn't even take Google. Twitter and Facebook went down, that'd be enough. If Google goes down too, the whole fucking world is going to shit.
And it wouldn't be go down. It would. You know, they're going to basically their home. Anytime you try to go to their page or any page under their domain, it's going to be a link to that. You know, we're shut down because this is basically what's going to happen if this act passes. So it's the same kind of scare tactics that are being used to promote the bill. It's just, you know, against it. And there are ideas behind the bill that are okay. But at this point, the argument has been so closed-minded versus you're an idiot that it's, I just want to punch everyone who's on the backing side of it.
Well, I think that a lot of the people on the backing side of it don't realize how detrimental it could be to an open internet, which could...
Of course they don't.
Because they're blinded by dollar signs. They're exactly. Like, if this goes through, we'll make a bajillion more dollars.
Exactly. They are worried about their stuff being stolen, but what they don't realize is the people stealing it weren't their customers to begin with. The people that are stealing the shit weren't going to pay for it regardless.
Yeah.
And the people that are stealing it now are going to find ways to steal it later. This isn't going to stop that. The thieves are always smarter than the people trying to stop them. In the digital world, that is.
Well, in general. I mean, if you have something nice enough, people are going to steal it no matter what.
Yes. So this isn't going to stop anything. It might slow them down temporarily, but it won't put a stop to a damn thing.
Yeah. And it started out as a good idea. It ended up as a very, very broad definition of power. Basically granting this huge amount of power to people who obviously don't understand it. Lamar Smith, the moron who decided to start this bill and refuses to admit that there's any real opposition to it, which just proves that the guy doesn't know how to use the internet because he obviously hasn't been on it. And like I said in the last podcast, 2 weeks ago when we debated this, he just listening to the people debate it. There are people like me and you and everyone who listens to this podcast that have at least a generic understanding of how stuff works on the internet that understand, like, hey, basically what you're doing, you're asking the security of the internet to just be completely put down with their DNS issues. And then you're asking everyone who has a web page that is under a .com and hosted in the U.S., you're asking for them to be liable to be shut down because somebody goes on their page and posts something. You know, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, and because of the wording and the language in the bill, that could very easily be done. You could take somebody's shit down just by posting a fucking music video.
If I post an Imgur link of a picture I took and I copyright it, if I go post the Imgur link on someone else's comment page and then report them for having, you know, my copywritten stuff on their page, they can be shut down. More or less. And then you have the old people who are like, well, if there's stolen stuff there, it's bad. Well, if you plant stolen property, it's not exactly stolen at that point. Or stolen by the people who are being punished for it anyway. So I think Facebook, most of all, needs to go through with the blackout. Because once all billion people who don't internet at all except for Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, and Google, if the four of them black out and just post a link to an explanation on SOPA, then I think something might actually happen with this. Otherwise, it's just going to get ramrodded through by people who don't understand how to type.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things that frustrates me to no end, because I know that if people understood exactly what was going down, then there would be a lot more anger and outrage over this than there is. People just don't seem to understand how bad this really is.
This is what I want to hear Lamar Smith say.
Oh, rats!
In that
Make
voice.
It happen, Internet. Okay, let's calm down a bit. There's a thing here about an Apple event in late January.
Yay!
But it's an Apple iBooks event, so nobody cares.
Oh.
They're talking about books. Unless they're going to have an e-reader to compete with the Amazon Kindle, which I doubt it, because that would be too low level for Apple. Well, then again, Steve Jobs is gone. You never really know where the company's going to go. Anyway.
On This Week in Tech, last week or this week, or maybe it was MacBreak Weekly, I don't know, they were speculating it might have something to do with iTunes U and textbooks. I don't remember why they were speculating that, but there was some kind of evidence.
Well, aren't there a lot of universities now that are giving the students iPads for stuff like that?
No, they're not public universities, and they're probably putting it on their bill for a hell of a lot more than what they get.
Oh, well,
the
yeah.
iPad for so.
That's
you say give, part of, and part I say charge for.
Yeah.
Technology but. Fees.
Yeah, what? I mean, I know I've heard about that happening in, you know, in the news, but nobody I know has ever gotten an iPad from their school.
Oh, apparently we have a guru in our chat. Says the iPad numbers were severely low this holiday, and Kindle was way higher than expected. I don't know if he means expected by the average person,
yeah, expected
or
by
expected by or... people like us who said, "Hey, that's a really cheap, good tablet." Well, right. Yeah, I think the Kindle beat. Correct me if I'm wrong, random person in the chat who may or may not have this information. I think that the Kindle, you could say, beat the iPad severely this holiday. Let's see, is that correct? Yes, I get a yes on that one. That random person who I know has good information. Thank you for that. That actually helps prove my point that a $200 tablet that does most of the stuff is better than a $500 tablet that does more most of the stuff. Neither one of them do all of the stuff. So whatever.
That's just proof that people prefer things at reasonable prices. I mean, you'll always have the people that will pay
yeah.
a premium.
Look
just
at the touchpad.
Pretty.
Hey, I can get a tablet for $99. I don't care what it is. Fire sale. Let's go. Let's fight over each other.
Yep.
You know,
people
it's,
were
it was
practically killing each other to get those things.
Well, had it been a physical store, it would have been the Tickle Me Elmo issue. You know, you got like parents beating each other up for this stupid thing. Scalpers selling them on eBay for iPad prices. Which, by the way, that was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. Like, hey, here's a gimped, you know, obsolete tablet. Let's put it on there for a modern, full-fledged tablet price, and it sold. Why would you
because
buy that? I don't know.
People were confusing demand.
Hey, get closer to the mic, Ben. I can't hear.
People were confusing demand with quality.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't exactly a bad tablet. The software was kind of shit, but as soon as the market was flooded with the hardware,
it got ported fast.
The Android community got a hold of it, ported Android over to it, and it suddenly became one of the best Android tablets you could get, and certainly the cheapest.
Okay, our random speculator here says that Kindle saw around or more than a 200% spike in sales. That's it, around the holidays versus, I guess they were only really around the holidays. I don't know what.
Well, yeah, because it came out right before the holiday buying season.
Yeah. So anyway, it really,
you know,
really good on Kindle, on Amazon. I predicted that they would nail this, and I'm glad that they did, because first of all, screw Apple. Second of all, I like Amazon. Anyway, I guess we're going to skip our last bullcrap topic that I put up there. I'm surprised we got these to last so long. We already kind of covered it anyway.
Noise cast stamina.
Yeah. you're funny, sir. You're funny. All right, here's a good one. Man dies after eating cocaine.
Wait. First, the fuck news?
Yeah, this is WTF news.
Yeah, see, you gotta know somewhere where I can put the music in. You can't just jump right in.
Oh god, the guy who edited it couldn't find a pause between two sentences and just insert the song.
Hey, one
we ought to get a new editor.
Walk into WTF news.
Anyway, you know, it's WTF. This guy can't figure out how to use Audacity. Anyway,
whoever can swallow the most Tylenol PM wins.
There you go. A South Carolina man's brother died after he was forced to eat cocaine hidden in his brother's butt. Yeah.
Well, that's not a way that I would want to go out.
That is not a way I'd want to spend any amount of my time. Eating cocaine out of my brother's butt.
Yeah, that's bad enough.
Well, I suppose if I was forced to do that, I would hope to die afterwards, because I don't want to live.
Yeah, but there's no forced about it. Anyway, here, let me read the story, and then we can talk about how stupid he is. Officer says D'Angelo Mitchell convinced his brother, Wayne Mitchell, sorry, I don't know where Michael came from, to swallow an ounce of cocaine to hide the evidence. He died soon afterwards. Apparently, he swallowed it from the other guy's butt. That's all it really says on this.
An ounce of cocaine from the butt.
Whoa.
So could you say it was butt crack?
Butt crack? Yeah. Sorry, Ben.
You guys.
You know, if this story was written by our favorite WTF author, that line would have been in there.
I don't use the term favorite.
Favorite is very loose.
Yeah, I think, like, I can't think of another term. Just, we happen to stumble upon her stuff. Anyway, so, moral of the story is don't eat crack, or don't eat cocaine out of your brother's ass. If it's more than an ounce.
You know, you could have just stopped at don't eat cocaine. But if you're gonna eat cocaine out of your brother's ass is probably not the best place.
Or more than an ounce or more.
Depending on your tolerance. At that point, I don't really think it matters on the amount.
Yeah, you know what? Let's let Darwin take this one. And go for it, buddy. All right, next one. This is actually from our favorite WTF author, most frequented author.
You motherfucker, you just said favorite isn't the term we're going to use.
Shut up, Ben.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. How's it feel?
That jacket is fantastic.
A man shows up for a court date wearing a crack cocaine jacket. Apparently, the jacket he wore to court was imprinted with a cartoon-style recipe for cooking crack cocaine.
Now, I think it's important to point out that the court hearing he was showing up for was because he was accused of drug trafficking.
Well, it was either that or his fuck the police shirt, and that was dirty, so.
He only had a couple of choices.
Apparently, a lawyer who happened to be in the courtroom, not this guy's lawyer, I hope, decided that he was just going to snap a picture of this guy's crack jacket. And posted, like, it looks like it was, you know, on cell phones. So it was probably via Twitter or something like that. But some lawyer in the courtroom thought it was funny that this guy decided to wear a crack jacket to court.
Shit, man,
where do
I
you
think
buy
it's funny.
A crack jacket?
Kmart?
eBay.
Maybe made it himself.
Your dealer? I don't know. Maybe he's got a catalog.
I think Ben's got the right idea. He made it himself while he was making a crack.
Like magazine?
Yeah. It's like Sky Mall, but
maybe
it's actually the back of Sky Mall. No one ever makes it that far through the damn thing.
they don't have enough time on their flight. They're too busy looking at giant crossword puzzles.
Actually, I start at the back of Sky Mall because that's where the funnier crap is.
I love SkyMall. I always take it every time.
Yeah, I do too. And I throw it away by the time I'm out of the airport because I'm like, I'm never going to actually read this again. I thought I was, and I realized I wasn't. I got theft remorse. Anyway, apparently DJ Underboob approves of this lawyer's actions. The man who took the photo.
Was it a friend of yours?
Can you get in trouble for doing that? Because don't they have something like you're not supposed to take pictures?
No, that's only in certain cases.
Oh, okay.
And at certain times, I believe.
Some courtrooms.
Because you can have reporters in there, and reporters can send stuff out whenever they want, unless there's a, I forget what it's called, a gag order.
Gotcha.
If I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, Underboob. Unless there's a gag order, you can pretty much do whatever you want as long as it doesn't disrupt the court proceedings in terms of sending your information out. Not getting any corrections as of yet, so it looks like I'm right. Suck a dick, Ben.
I wasn't asking an actual question.
Our final WTF. Okay, most courtrooms say no cameras, but that's most. And obviously pay attention to whatever, and I'm pretty sure any judge in the Florida area that looked at that would probably giggle and not charge the lawyer.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. Seriously, the internet needed to know. Distractions. What DJ Underwood saying says there's
been enriched by seeing that.
You're too far away from your mic again.
I said I feel as if my life has been enriched by seeing that.
Saying what?
Never mind. Move the fuck on.
Well, if you got closer to the microphone, maybe we could hear you. Says the pot calling the kettle black. Alright. Last topic. WTF news. If you know you lose a loved one and you're from Alabama or Arkansas, you can always have them cremated or and Texas. Made into bullets.
Or Texas.
Okay, I'm in Alabama now, so I that's why I said that. I could list like every state because there's rednecks in every state. Except for Rhode Island.
That's true.
Because I don't think Rhode Island has more than, you know, enough space.
Yeah, I don't think they have enough people to have rednecks.
I think they have too many people in too little space. That's the problem. Because you can't have density of rednecks. The main component of redneck is too much land for your own good. Or public land for your own good. But Rhode Island has none of that. Anyway. So this excellently made website, which looks like a WordPress site.
I don't think it's WordPress.
Well, it looks like it was based off WordPress.
It's powered by GoDaddy.
Yeah, big surprise. Anyway, you can have your loved ones cremated because, you know, planning a loved one's final arrangements can be a challenging responsibility. And then you could take their ashes and put them into bullets. Specifically, shotgun shells or rifle cartridges are the two options. It's called Holy Smoke. In case you worried that they were going to be too tactful.
At least the cartridges look really nice.
Well,
they should be, for they're pretty expensive.
Yeah. Well, the stupid thing is they really don't look that nice. The backside has a custom stamp on it, but that they have one dude with a custom made stamp on his machine and he's punching those out, so that's not that big of a deal. Facts and pricing page. It says for about $850, you get 250 rounds of high-quality hand-loaded lead-shot shotgills, or shot shells, rather, in your random shotgun sizes.
These work especially well if you're trying to avenge your loved one's death.
Okay, now I can see that being a great reason.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if, like, the Punisher had these.
Oh, exactly.
I'm shooting my son and wife at you. That would have put a whole really wicked twist on
you took
movie.
Their lives, now they'll take yours.
Yeah, except there's bits of bone in there. So you see, like, a little bit of finger bone go through a guy's eyeball. That would have made it a lot more interesting.
That would have been made it great.
Hold on, somebody get Marvel on the phone.
apparently you can do some pistol calibers as well if you don't have a long gun to shoot your loved one out of. This deer is for you, Grandpa. Okay, I missed. Now, this one's for you, Grandpa.
They have a 105 howitzer on the homepage. I wonder if you can. Oh no, that's the about page. I'm sorry. There's a 105 howitzer on the about page. Do you think you can have their ashes loaded into a 105 cartridge and blast it out of a cannon?
Whoa!
Hopefully.
I think there's probably three cemeteries in the U.S. that actually have a howitzer on call. And I doubt any of them would take a custom-loaded round.
Probably not.
Yeah, because they're all, I guarantee you, they're all government-run ones. And you can't just say, hey, just shoot this out of that gun that has a range of 3 to 8 miles.
Well, no, if it's a blank round, then it's basically just, it makes a big bang.
Well, yeah, and they know that, but it still has to be loaded to their specs.
Right, yeah. Right. But I would assume that if you're making a howitzer, if you're making a gun round, it would be for like a ceremony. Well, not rifles and shotguns, but for a cannon, it would be just a ceremonial blank round.
If it was to happen to a veteran friend or me, it would be 30-06s through, you know, M1s, because that's what, you know, the typical 21 gun salute. 7 military, 7 30-06s they bring out. Well, depending on when you died, I guess. Anyway, stop talking about the specifics of shooting my ashes out of a gun.
Is that a way that you would like to be memorialized?
No. Burn me, toss me into a, I don't care, and then have a kegger.
Well, see, I know there's been those companies for a while that'll turn your ashes into, like, diamonds. This a bit more practical.
I'm wearing Grandpa. I'm shooting Grandpa. Yeah, same thing. It's a little creepy. Anyway, feel free to check them out. Links in the topic list if you really want to put Grandpa into a 12-gauge. Or 250 12-gauges, to be precise. And it doesn't actually say that... Oh, no, they are loaded. So you have... You can actually kill something with these rounds. They're not just blanks. Let me read this bit off the website. You know I've thought about this for some time, and I want to be cremated. Then I want my ashes put into some turkey-load shotgun shells and have someone who knows how to turkey hunt use those shells to shoot my ashes at a turkey. That way I will rest in peace knowing the last thing that turkey will see is me screaming at him at about 900 feet per second.
Wow.
Well, your Thanksgiving dinner is bound to taste different with a little bit of Grandpa in him. Anyway, I'm seriously done with this because there's a lot of redneck jokes and we don't have that much time. Anyway, thank you for joining us. Both those of you in the live stream, which there are 9 of you now, thank you. And those of you who are listening later, as you know, we are The Noisecast. You can find us online at thenoisecast.com, on Facebook, just search Noisecast, and on Twitter, twitter.com/Noisecast. With us tonight, we had Ben.
I love The Noisecast. It's so bad.
And I'm kind of sad I let him finish that sentence this time. Gonzo.
Yeah, it was good to be back.
Yeah, we'll be a little more productive in the future. Thanks for putting up with our 2-week break. And Vito.
I missed most of you guys.
He's lying. And I am Chris, or Kevlar, or whatever you want to call me. Answer most everything. You can yell at me online if you want via the Noisecast, because I don't check it. Anyway, thank you, and... for joining us with episode 57. Have a good night. Next topic. I have to pee. Taking a break.
Okay.
Mark that at 41 seconds, Ben.
41 seconds? Wow, we've been talking
41 minutes, Ben.
Gotcha. That is not what you said, sir.
I know.
I'm going to just write that down in the show notes so I don't forget.
Okay.
Or you could write it down right
just
now.
Just go pee.
So, okay, Chris P's at... Yeah, I'm putting it in the show notes. Chris P's at...
Chris goes to pee.
Around 41 minutes.
Yeah, also, when you post the show notes, make sure you remove that little
tidbit. It's staying in there. Leave it in there. Everybody.
That's a topic of the week.
Yeah. And I know everyone.
Fucking professional. You see, this is why you tune in. Listen to the live show.
Yeah, who cares? So can, screw you guys.
And he's going to take his microphone into the bathroom.
No, I'm not carrying my laptop to pee. Now shut up, let me leave.
I'm pretty sure someone did that in the old days of Tiny Chat.
Possibly.
Memory could be escaping me.
So while we're taking a little time out, does anyone in the chat room have any stuff we should talk about?
Yeah, if you guys got anything you want to talk about, just go ahead and toss that out there. We do need to talk about Silver, though. I think that's the only one left in the regular news.
Well, I just added one, actually. It's not a huge topic. We could maybe mention it real quick. There's supposed to be some kind of Apple event in the next few weeks. Looks like it's probably going to be about iBooks.
That's fun and all, but I think that the SOPA needs to be talked about, because that's one of those things that affects everybody. And let's be honest, it's iBooks.
Well, I know. I'm
how many of our, how many of our people know how to read?
Well, we know Chris doesn't. Well, I'm not saying we should cover the Apple event in favor of SOPA. I'm just saying we could. Also
oh, you mean if we have time?
Yeah, I'm saying we could just also talk about that. Because you said that was the only thing left on the topic of this.
I'm not seeing your Apple thing.
You're not looking very hard, because it's right there.
Oh, it looks like mine isn't, it's not loading properly. It says trying to reach google.com.
Sorry to hear that.
Oh, there it goes. Manual refresh.
Our chat got absolutely awesome. Okay, I'll leave that. We're continuing.
Is your bladder nice and relieved?
It is. It is indeed.
Good to hear.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're happy for my bladder.
Very.
You weren't
almost unhealthily so.
You just couldn't find it.